Welcome back to the Build Your Empire podcast, where today we are joined by Alex Nicolaitis. And we have met online. We just clicked and we were like, you know what, we need to do a podcast. So we are going to come to you today sharing a whole heap of things around choices when it comes to business, but also, you know, the things that life throws at you as well. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. It's going to be exciting to see what comes out today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm going to read a little bit of Alex's bio out for you guys so you can get a little bit of an idea of who she is. So Alex specializes in guiding driven female entrepreneurs to design and execute their ultimate business. If your business is not giving you the profits and lifestyle you want, then it's time to take action. Booyah. Life is too short and precious to be stuck in a business that is not performing. A message that fast became her motto after her dad's sudden passing at the young age of 18. After her own journey of wearing busyness, oh yes, I understand that, like a badge of honor, micromanaging and being another cog in the machine to living an abundant space, this refreshing approach allowed her business to thrive without her getting in the way. Alex discovered a more effective way to have businesses flourish easily and effortlessly through her unique and proven three-pillar formula of mentorship, strategy, and mindset. Alex has propelled over 200 Australian businesses to their next level. That is shit hot. Good on you.
Mic drop.
Yeah, isn't it what? So tell me, let's start back when you were 18 and the passing of your dad. That would have been so hard.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenging time. And, you know, to give context, you know, in the last 6 months of his life, like, he'd smoking pretty much his whole life. He was pretty overweight his whole life as well. He'd lost 10 kilos. He was down to one cigarette a day. Everyone was like, you know, and he'd had a few strokes a few years prior. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't write or read. Like, he relearned all of that stuff. And then, you know, in the last 6 months, we saw, you know, another progression of him. And we were like, okay, you know, he's gone through all of these challenges and he's really, you know, making the time to improve himself. You know, maybe he'll stick around for a lot longer than what we've expected.
Yeah.
And then quite literally, like, he was just getting ready for work one day, had a heart attack, and 36 hours later he was gone.
Oh my goodness.
You know, it was a huge just shock to be like, you know, we thought he was getting better. Mm. We thought that this was the uphill of, you know, we're going to be able to spend more time with him in this healthy state. And, you know, my parents will work, 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 no play. We'll do that when we retire type, you know, vibe. And, you know, so they never enjoyed their lives. They were waiting for something that, because of this event, never happened.
They were, like, waiting to enjoy their life.
Yeah, yeah, which is, you know, a huge part of my ethos now. Don't fucking wait.
Yes.
Like, you could die tomorrow. I could die tomorrow. Well, fuck, it could be today. Like, how do you know?
Jesus, I cannot. I've got shit to do.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, you know, having that experience at such a young age, you know, really just, obviously it's very close to my heart, but the way that I frame that is, you know, I wouldn't wish him to die, but it is such a fucking gift. Because every day I'm like, did I honor his passing? Did I honor his passing by doing, you know, things that light my soul up? Did I honor his passing by having people around me that support me and, you know, say my name in a room full of opportunities? You know, did I support his passing by, like, elevating the female collective as opposed to being, you know, that person in the corner that's bitching about everyone and whinging about my life, you know? So it is such a gift that happened to me at such a young age that I've been able to hold it in that positive place. And, you know, because it could have gone the other way.
Oh, 100%. And you know, this is the, you know, the topic that we wanted to cover off on today is, you know, you had the choice of this being two things for you. And, you know, you could have wallowed in the pity and you could have, you know, stayed right where you were and you know, done exactly what he did with his life, but you didn't. You made a choice for that to change. And you did it at such a young age. I mean, 18, geez, I don't think I would have made such a conscious decision at that age. So, you know, I think that's fantastic. So, you know, having those choices, you know, moving forward and wanting things to be different and to break that cycle and that chain, what did that look like for you moving forward after that? You know, 18 years old, obviously, you know, huge challenges thrown at you quite early. Moving into business, what did that change for you?
It really just was a driving force to be like, you know, and I, prior to his passing, my like work philosophy was like, if I'm waking up too many days in a row and I don't love what I'm about to go and do, I need to change something up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what led me to leaving school at year 10. Cause I was like, I don't love school. It's not that I'm not smart. It's not that I don't love learning. I just don't love this environment of school. So I left.
Yeah. I was exactly the same. Year 10 as well. Exactly the same. I just went, this is not for me.
No,
following this regime, you know. So yeah, I definitely, yeah, I had that spark very early on as well.
Yeah.
The rebel, the rule breakers.
Right, exactly. And you know, back then it was like, and my mother's extremely studious, so for her to have a child of hers leave school and not get a HSC, crazy. So you know, and like, you know, and another aspect of the dad's story is me leaving in year 10 allowed me an extra 2 years of, like, he learned me, taught me how to drive in those 2 years. I like worked at Macca's full time, so he would come and pick me up. He would take me to work. So I really just was able to spend a really beautiful 2 years with him where I would have been at school otherwise.
Yeah.
And if I stayed at school, it would have fucked up my HSC in any case because of when he passed. So I'm like, beautiful decision.
Perfect. It all worked out exactly perfectly.
Exactly. Yeah. Everything happens as and when it needs to is one of my mottos.
Yeah, so true.
And you know what? That motto actually really serves me in business because I have that faith and trust in that. I'm like, when I looked at the choices that I had when I was an employee, in, you know, I was an accountant for 4 years and I did a bit of bookkeeping at both firms that I was at. And I was like, hang on a minute, like, I'm here, like, I've got the skills, the confidence and the knowledge to be able to do this bookkeeping work as opposed to the accounting work. Like, there's a hole in the market where clients are paying for bookkeepers year round. The work is coming to me as the accountant and I'm actually spending most of my time budget fixing up the bookkeeping. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So like with the skills and knowledge and the confidence, I'm like, fuck, I can be that solution.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. Like, I started a bookkeeping firm and, you know, because of the contacts and the connections that I had when I was at university and, you know, doing my commerce degree and whilst I was an accountant, that business flourished. And you know, that ethos of I wasn't enjoying going to work anymore. So something had to change. And for me, I was like, all right, what does that change look like? What have I done in my life that I enjoy doing, that I will enjoy waking up to every day? You know, and business ticked off so many of those boxes because I could choose my clients.
Mm-hmm.
I could choose my employees if I got to that stage when I was deciding this. Yeah. You know, I could choose where I wanted to work if I stayed at home or if I got a co-working space, you know, and that I'm a very driven person and I love challenge. I actively seek discomfort in pretty much every day of my life.
Same. Sometimes it's questionable. You think, why do I do this to myself? Like, I not just have a normal day where I can just do normal things. No, let's chill. I love it.
Excuse me.
I love that. I love that. So, you know, obviously, you know, moving into that, you know, where you knew that you wanted to be your own boss, you knew that you wanted to be able to write the rules yourself, you got caught in the micromanaging though, I believe.
Yeah.
You know? So what did that look like?
Yeah, so I really owned the fact that I'm a Virgo and Virgos are perfectionists. Like, and because of how young I was, the fact that I was a female in a, you know, heavily male dominated industry, being young and female, I was like, I need to prove my fucking worth here, like from day one, in order to succeed here. Because when I started it, there wasn't someone young and fresh and, you know, someone who could, who had this energy that I had or have.
Yeah.
Everyone was super duper boring and really old.
Yeah.
And so for me to come into this space, everyone was like, oh, who's this?
Mm.
So, you know, I, because of those traits, I had to protect all of that, I guess, IP, for lack of a better word, and branding, because people were coming to my business for me as a human. Yeah. So if any work went out the door that wasn't up to my perfectionist standards, that came back to me, that came on my shoulders and my head. And I was like, fuck, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, at the early stages, like I started the business in October and I hired my first person in the January. So, and by the June, I had 4 employees. So huge growth.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
You know, it just sort of happened and it was like, okay, here I am. So, you know, because I wasn't prepared for that growth so quickly, jobs did go out the door. It did, you know, muck up a few clients. You know, and the feedback did come back to me and it was like, this is a direct reflection on me. All right. And bearing in mind at this stage of my life, I hadn't done much personal development work.
Yeah. Do you believe that that was a huge part of things potentially? You know, obviously you'd scaled, you know, unbeknownst to you, the levels that you had gone. But do you believe, I mean, one thing that I massively live by is your business will only ever get as big as you.
100%.
Do you believe that was the issue?
Yeah, 100%. Because
obviously your business had grown, you hadn't really been able to prepare yourself for what was happening, and then it started to potentially fall apart.
Yeah. That is exactly what happened. So I like it grew so fast, it got a bit out of hand. And so then I reined it in by that perfectionism and that control and the micromanaging.
Mm-hmm.
Rightly so. People came, people left. And I was like, why are people leaving? This is a great place to work. Rah, rah, rah.
Look at me. I'm thriving.
This is so fun. Aren't you having fun here?
Yeah.
And, you know, there were actual
people come in and they're like, oh, well, word.
Yeah, there were genuine elements of fun, but when I was serious, holy shit, you freaking knew about it. Like, you know, if I walked into the room and, you know, I wasn't in a great mood, or I'd stayed up, you know, till 1, 2 a.m. finishing someone else's work because they'd stuffed up, I'm like, you knew about it.
yeah, for sure.
But no, 100% that personal development work. So I went on that path for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And I got to a place where, you know, mentally I was just on the floor, like, you know, to the stage where, you know, I was questioning being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you asshole, how on earth are you thinking these thoughts with the experience of your dad? And knowing how that affected everyone, including yourself, like, you're a jerk. You need to do something about this.
Yeah.
And so from that, I got introduced to my first life coach / business coach once I sort of came back in alignment with who I am and, you know, did a lot of work. And from there, the business skyrocketed because I was no longer projecting my shit to other people. I was taking responsibility for how I was showing up, how I was being a leader, how I was, you know, not allowing anyone any form of control. And yeah, like I showed up in a completely fucking different place because I became aware of the person that I was being, and I wasn't a great person. And I wanted to change. I, you know, sought that help. I got it. And, you know, the outcome was the business flourished.
Yeah, that's amazing. What changed though? Like, what was it? You know, like you said, you went and did the personal development and, you know, you know, you had to step into that new version of yourself. But mm-hmm. what was it that helped you stop with the micromanaging and step into more of a flow leadership state?
Yeah, I think it's just like 100% ownership of like any situation, instead of just jumping to conclusions and being like, that person fucked up, like that's on them. Being like, okay, no, like let's not react. Let's take a moment and let's respond and be like, you know, what part did I play in this outcome? Did I, when I gave them the job, did I not explain the task properly? Did I not give enough context? Did I not give them an opportunity to ask any questions of me? Was I not available enough at, so say like the halfway mark or the three quarter mark, so that if they did have issues, they didn't blow out to this massive, you know, task that's going to take hours to fix as opposed to half an hour to resolve. So radical ownership of the parts that I played in any sort of any part of the business, but more so in any sort of errors and mistakes that were happening, so that, you know, I was learning that I didn't need to micromanage. I just needed to, you know, be available and be open. And, you know, that whole communication piece was massive.
Yeah. And it is so massive in business, you know, that communication. As soon as you've got staff, it is what I find. It is me half the time, you know. It is that I was too busy, or, you know, I was like, here, quick, just get this done, you know, in a hurry. And really being able to, like you said, own when you haven't shown up exactly like you need to. And in some cases, you know, in some cases it's not me, and other people need to be able to take that responsibility. But I think that that really open, you know, safe space, even for your employees, to be like, hey, you know what, you completely fucked that up, but you know, like, do you know where you went wrong? Do you know why we can't do this? Do you know the impact that it's going to have? And, you know, I think, you know, I have that with the people inside my company now. And, you know, we rarely have big mistakes, you know. There's little ones, but there's rarely big F-ups, you know. It's usually quite okay. So, you know, I can definitely understand how that type of leadership can drive the ship, you know, rather than not having it and you sink the ship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Totally. So, you know, obviously being in business, there's things like fear that comes up, you know, and I think anybody listening to this has felt it, you know, probably several times in a minute, let alone several times in their business. So, you know, what are some of the strategies that you used when fear came up throughout your business?
So I am a massive, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. And, you know, how I do that in a practical application is, you know, I think based on, you know, knowledge and awareness that I have, I know of how the brain works. It doesn't have programs or experiences to tell you, you know, what's the potential outcome of this new experience.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't have that information, it's going to automatically assume that it's scary, it's unsafe, and we don't want to go there. And its default is to protect us. Mm-hmm. So it's going to pull you back and keep you in your comfort zone. So in order for me to, you know, step into that fear, I know from that brain space of how we work, I need to just action so that my brain does get that information, so that next time I come into another fearful situation, it's like, oh, I remember the last time we had a fearful situation that we actually didn't have any data on to know how to respond. Mm. We've got this little piece of data over here now from the first time that we, you know, felt the fear and did it anyway. So the more often you feel that fear and you take action in any case, the more data your brain has to, I guess, build up a library of, you know, yes, it may be fearful, but the outcome was X, Y, and Z. And as a result of X, Y, and Z, a few weeks later, A, B, and C happened. And look, you know, that was an amazing opportunity.
Yes. And on the other side of it is, you know, most of the time is some type of breakthrough, right? Where you're like, my God, that wasn't even that bad. And now look at what I've done, or now look at what I achieved, or, oh my God, I spoke on camera for the first time, or, you know, it's on the other side of fear is the exact place that you want to be.
Exactly right. Yeah. And to that point about being on camera, I remember last week I was talking to someone and they're like, how are you so confident on camera? Like yeah. your presence and your energy. I'm, you know, magnetized by your energy. And I'm like, have a look at this. Literally my first IGT live, I pulled it up in front of her and I was like, this was my first one literally a year ago. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, like completely different human.
Yeah.
Like, so nervous. And I was like, hello, Instagram world. So,
how are you expecting right? people to jump in and be like, oh, I'm really good, thanks.
Yeah. And I'm like, so this is a pure, you know, result of me stepping into my fear and practicing it, like utilizing that muscle. If you want to build a better body, you go to the gym, you eat healthy. If you want to increase your confidence, you feel that fear and you do it anyway. If you want to increase your screen presence in video or you know, podcasting, you do it often. You ask for opportunities. You put yourself into that ring. Like, you know, yeah. the only way that you're going to get better is, or, you know, have a different outcome is by doing something differently.
Yeah, so true. And I think one thing, just before I stepped on stage in front of 9,000 people, I remember thinking to myself, oh, I can't do this. Like, oh my God, I legit can't, you know, like a puppy just breaks yeah. on, you know, like I'm not moving. And I remember one of the ladies who, she was somebody that I looked up to, and she walked past me and she's like, Mel, what's wrong? And I was like, oh man, like, I thought I'd be okay with this because I've always been fairly confident to speak in front of people. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I can't do this. And she said one thing to me that really stuck, and it was, you when you are making it more about yourself, you're taking away from the experience that somebody's going to get. And I just went, wow. Like, I didn't even think of it like that. And she said, there's 9,000 people in this room that need to hear your story. And I was like,
oh damn.
Yeah. But you know, from that day, every time I've had that scary moment, I've literally reminded myself, hey, these people need to hear what it is that you have, you know, which is, it just changes the game completely.
Yeah. When the why is bigger than yourself, like that's when, you know, just epic shifts happen, because it's no longer about you. It's about the collective.
And isn't that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so true. So, you know, like you said, understanding your mindset, like how did you get to that point? You know, what made you understand your mindset?
I think it was a mixture of that first life coach that I saw. So I worked with him for about 3 years and he was really big around like power of choice.
Yeah.
And so from learning the, I guess, book knowledge around that whole piece, and then integrating that in my business and in my everyday life, and seeing the different results I was having when I did start to take ownership of myself and how I was showing up and the choices that I was making, or even, you know, the inactions that I was taking, and allowing to just step back and being like, hey, can this business run without me, for instance? Like, what would that look like?
Yeah.
You know, that's how, you know, how I really came to embody that, because I allowed myself the space. I knew it wasn't going to be an overnight, you know, transformation.
Yeah.
So I wasn't hard on myself in going, fuck, like I should be a completely different human today. Yeah. Like, why am I not a different human today?
Yeah.
You know, it was not setting any expectations, just showing up and being like, I know I need to be here. Like, I'm just going to be a sponge.
And go with it.
Yeah. Just trusting.
So, yeah. Sorry to cut you off. But on the back end of that is, you obviously knew that you needed to make an investment as well. And I'm sure that you see this a lot, is people that are scared to make that investment, or people that are trying to make $1 million from every single free giveaway course or, you know, book or ebook that's possible. What do you think about that? Like, I mean, I know it's been a game changer for me, you know, the day that I actually swallowed my pride and just went, okay, I'm doing it, you know, and I jumped into like a $30,000 coach and, you know, the game changed on that day. Yeah. What, how did you become okay? You know, you said that you worked with this coach for 3 years. You know, there's obviously some investments that needed to be made. Yeah. How did you understand that that was something that you needed to do?
Yeah. So a coach of mine recently said to me, when people pay, they pay attention. And I was like, hot diggity damn, that is epic. And, you know, how I connected with the fact that I needed to invest is like, you know, someone said to me at the time, investing in yourself has the highest return on investment of any investment on this planet. The reason for that is because you are in complete control of, you know, how that eventuates, how, you know, the results of that. If you go and buy a car, for instance, even if it's a historic one and it may appreciate in value, you don't have control on that market. You don't know if, you know, all of the cars are going to burn in a fire and you've got the only one that didn't burn in that fire and therefore yours is crazy now, you know, unique and the only one left on the world. You don't know that. You have no control over that. Same in the stock market. Like, it goes up and down, you know, 1,000 times a day. But if you invest in yourself, you've got, you know, that then ability and the awareness and the tools to be able to make shifts, to be able to create or co-create the life that you desire, to be able to, you know, really just make that return on investment, whatever the fuck you want it to be. It can be tenfold, but it can also be 100-fold if you truly desire that.
Yeah. And I think it's about like going all in on yourself. Yeah. You know, I think so often we give so much more to everybody else, but if you give all of that to yourself, you know, you can then have such a greater impact. And I think this is something that I really got stuck in, was, you know, always giving my time to other people and always being available, whether that was in relationship, business, whatever, always available. You ring me, I'm going to pick up the phone, you know? And now, honestly, sometimes I feel like, you know, and I'm unsure that selfish is probably the right word, but it is literally all about like, I'm sorry, but I can't put time in over here right now because I'm so focused on what I need to be doing and constantly just pouring into myself and my growth and the business growth, because, you know, the rest of it will come. You know, the relationship, the friends that don't understand, maybe they're not aligned right now. You know, maybe they're not the people that are cheering on the next current changes. Yeah. So, you know, how did you kind of overcome that type of stuff as well? You know, like you said, you know, it's all about investing in yourself, but how did you overcome potentially those moments where people want more of your time?
Yeah. When I hear the word selfish, I'm like, it's not selfish. It's actually self-care. Yeah. Like this morning I had an example and, you know, I've had family here this weekend. I went back to where I live or I grew up for 2 days and today's the first day back here. I went to the gym this morning to fill my cup. That's what I do every morning. Yeah. And I got back home and I'm like, I'm fucking exhausted. Like, I'm just going to lie down for a little bit of a nap. I was only planning half an hour, ended up having a 2 hour sleep. And I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I'm not mad about that at all. Because if I pushed forward in my day without acknowledging and being aware that I was actually pretty drained and I needed more sleep, then that's doing a disservice to anyone that I'm speaking to today or am connecting with today, because I'm not showing up as my full authentic self because I'm at 50%.
Yeah.
So yeah, like it's being aware that, being aware and mindful that, you know, when you do things for yourself, it's so that you can show up in a higher place and a higher vibration for other people.
Mm.
You know, I see it so often that people are like, oh, but I need to do this, 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 and this for all of these other people, and I'll do me last. And it's like, fuck no. Like, you do yourself first.
Mm.
And, you know, in a business context, when I came out of that dark phase, I was like, I need to every morning do something for myself first without exception, and then I go into business.
Yeah.
Because if I don't choose myself first in the morning, I'm not going to choose myself first for the rest of the day. And how you set your morning is how the rest of the day pans out. So, you know, that's where my active lifestyle started from, because I'm like, I want to choose myself first every day so that I'm filling my cup so that I can, you know, be of service to other people from my highest vibration, from my highest state. Because if I don't, they're not going to get the best version of me. I'm going to walk into burnout. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been there multiple times, and that was a reflection that I had this morning. If I pushed forward and didn't have that 2 hour sleep, you know, it's the last week of the end of financial year this week. I'm going to Sydney again on the weekend. And it's like, I've got a full schedule this week. So I'm walking into burnout. Yeah. Do I want to choose that for this life that I'm living now? Fuck no, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's that choice again, you know, like it's those conscious, consistent choices to do things differently than what we've done them before. And, you know, for me, same thing, you know, there's probably a few people right now that really aren't stoked about me going, you know what, I'm not available.
Yep.
I'm not available. We're in massive scale right now, and I'm not available. I might be soon, but I'm not right now. And, you know, I think taking my power back was probably one of the biggest things. And I would say it would be for you as well, you know, where it's like, once you take your power back, you operate on such a higher scale of, you know, of completion, I guess the word is, you know, like I feel as though that when I take my power back, I get things done, because now it's about what I need to complete, right? Which I think is so powerful. So look, I would love for you to leave the listeners with, what was the one book for you that was the absolute game changer? You know, the one where you finish it and you're like, damn it, there needs to be another one of these.
You know what? What's the name of it? It's by a guy, David Shehelik, I think it's called. And it's like,
let me Google it.
What's the effect of, like, why not you? Like, you're stepping in the way of your own self.
Is it David Shehelik?
Yeah.
David Shehelik.
Who says you can't, you do. That's what it is.
What was it?
Who says you can't, you do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to put this on my list. Who says you can't, you do. Okay.
And I read that when I was going through the start of my personal development journey, and I've probably read it like 3 or 4 times since. And every time I read it, there's just something
else.
I connect with it in a deeper level because of the growth that I've had. But, you know, it really was an extra resource for me to be like, you know, this information that I'm getting off my coach is not just his opinion. Like, there are so many other things available to us in this world, and, you know, to support what I was going through. And, you know, it was hugely based around, you know, the power of choice again, of, you know, who's stepping in your own way. Fucking you are. Why is that? Because you're making these choices. You're choosing to, you know, think these things or continue believing these beliefs. You have the power to change them if you truly desire that. Like, there's people out there, there's resource out there that can help you move through those. If you're not on that path, then you're choosing something else. So you are getting in your own way of whatever you think that you desire, because if you truly desired it, you'd fucking make it happen.
Yes. Oh, that's so true. And, you know, especially in business, watching people, you know, make choices to not show up, make choices to not go all in, make choices to, you know, buy that program and go half-assed at it. And then it's the blame, shame, justify game. Right. But the truth is, if you really wanted it, you'd make it happen. And that's 100%. The all and end all. I love it. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today. There's so many little gold nuggets in there. And I'm going to go and download this book because I feel like I'm missing out. So thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you. And I love that we've connected online. And both you and I think stand for, you know, more women connecting and raising each other up, especially in business.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You're welcome.